Dr. Hynek, please.
Second.
And we're going to hook up with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, the fellow we're studying about a moment ago, 22 years official astronomical consultant on unidentified flying objects to the United States Air Force, and the man who holds the chair of the Department of Astronomy at Northwest University, and he's going to be speaking with a Canadian Pacific airline pilot. Doctor, are you there?
Yep.
Pat Burns here, and let's open the line, and we'll go right to our Canadian Pacific airline pilot.
All right. First of all, you're 100% correct. But they do exist, and anyone that doesn't believe in them is going to have their head examined. Now, I'm just going to relate one incident. There have been a few, about six to my recollection in the last three and a half years. Now, I'm a first officer coal pilot, whatever you take to pick up. These seats between Vancouver and Tokyo and Vancouver, Hong Kong return have been for about 3 years. Now, the incident I'm going to really speak to you about happened on a run from Tokyo to Vancouver, return trip, June of 1969, which was about 4 months after I first started on international routes. Prior to that was Milk Run, Prince George, etc. But anyhow, it's around 2:30 a.m. in the morning, and about 2,500 miles northwest of Vancouver. We're cruising at about 34,000 feet with the autopilot on. To put quite bluntly, there was one hell of a blue flash just to the right of the aircraft and forward. Immediately checked the instrumentation. As you know, it's kind of dark up forward, or you may not know, but it's just illuminated dials, so we can see what we're going at. But anyhow, immediately checked the dials, and they were all over the place. Up, down, sideways, the artificial horizon, the turn and bank, the airspeed, the altitude, you can take your pick. If we could have been 34,000 feet into the ground, you couldn't get a reading. That lasted for about 3-4 seconds. And this blue flash disappeared approximately, I would take a guess, 2 to 3 miles forward of the aircraft and maintained a position there for roughly 35-40 seconds, somewhere around that. And it closed in on us rather fast. All this time, I must say, I'm sitting with my mouth open. I just couldn't believe what was happening. It closed in on us at a tremendous rate of speed. That distance, I would say, was covered in maybe 3 seconds. The distance I'm speaking of.
Was it sort of a collision course?
Direct collision course. It seemed direct. Now, it may have been high, may have been low, maybe right or left. You couldn't tell at the time, but it was coming. It was, in my impression, it was coming straight for us. But it closed to within, I'd say, somewhere to 1,000 to 1,500 yards and maintained a hovering position there, vertical, and maintained that position for roughly a minute to a minute and a half. Now, I must say, it seemed like an eternity staring and observing at this.
What was your ground speed at the time?
Ground speed would be about 550 knots at the present time. Now, it maintained that position constantly, never varied. May have varied slightly, but we couldn't tell. Now, I must say, we're looking at one another, and this was my first real experience with something. Now, I'm sure everybody said they've seen them or thought they have seen them at one time at a tremendous distance, but this was close, too close for comfort. And I stayed there, like I said, I'm repeating myself now for a minute, maybe a minute and a half, and then it just went straight up.
Straight up?
Straight up.
Slant line?
Straight up and out of sight. Five, 7 seconds. Just completely disappeared. Well, I must say, I was a little upset. The captain was a little calm. I turned to him and I said, "What the hell was it? Or what is it?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "But we've seen them before. They come around, they have a look." And I says, "Well, how about when we get back into Vancouver, should we contact the DOT and fill out a near-miss mid-air collision form?" He says, "I don't suggest it." And I said, "But you got to be kidding." He says, "They'll never believe you. You fill out that form, you sign it, you're quizzed by the DOT, they will make a recommendation, which 9 times out of 10 to your company doctor, that one, you go have your head examined, and two, you have your eyes checked."
Yep, this is an old story.
Now, I've seen these. Now, this is the thing. I was all fire and brimstone. Let's go. Let's get the hell back to Vancouver. Let's tell them what's happened. And he says, "They just won't believe you. Just don't bother. Just don't bother wasting your bloody time." He says, "I've been through this route before. Apologize, Mr. Burns." But anyhow, he says,
"It's all right. The expletive is in order."
Thank you. But he says, "It's a waste of your time." He says, "The DOT, as I repeated before, stated before, they will make recommendation. You never see what their recommendation is. Now, first impression when I got to the right of the aircraft, the flash and the boom and the bang, and it was just gone. I thought, oh, wow, we got some throttle jockey and a Phantom Jet or an F-111 or something that's just coming up getting these jollies. But mind you, straightened me out pretty fast. Now, I don't have any myself. Oh, by the way, I must say that in my assumption, it was a disc, 25 to 30 yards in diameter, about 15 yards in depth, and it was a brilliant blue. I don't know how to describe it. It was just brilliant. The only word I can use to make up, just tremendously bright. Now, how close do you think, would you have any way of estimating how close do you think it got to you? When it came to the right of the aircraft, it happened so fast, in all honesty, I can say no. I don't know. I must say it didn't shake the aircraft. It shook me. I may have gotten to the end of the aircraft for a change of laundry.
Buddy, it would have shaken me, too.
But I couldn't tell you. It was faster than you could blink your eyes at me, in all honesty.
I'm quite interested, very much interested, in the instrument behavior, because that has been reported many times also. How long did the instrument remain abnormal?
Oh, 5 to 7 seconds. Now, there was one at the initial pass. Now, once the object, for lack of a better word, maintained the distance at about 1,500 yards at a maximum, 1,000 at the closest, again, I'm guessing, because I was in a state of shock, there was a fluctuation of electrical power, very minor. For example, like a child playing with a light switch, on, off, on, off. Not constantly, but maybe 10, 15 seconds apart. I'd say they flickered a good half dozen times in the minute, minute and a half. But anyway, to get to the meat of the matter, now that's just one incident. I have not had an incident like that since or before. I have seen them at distance. They're not flying. That's just a correction. They're not satellites. They're not aircraft that I know of. And I carry a camera now.
Good. Fine.
And I'm not an idiot. At least I don't think I am. The flight engineer, myself, and the captain seen it. It did take place.
Do you imagine that any of the passengers saw it?
Some of the passengers on the right side of the aircraft forward in the first class section seen the initial blue flash, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were asking us.
They were asking you.
They were asking us, are we going to crash? Things like that after all.
I see. So there was no question of it.
There was no question about it. We said we couldn't, in all honesty, we said we didn't know what it was. We couldn't explain it. It may have been an aircraft. That was, we left it at that point. 2,500 miles out at roughly 2:30 in the morning. You don't say there's flying saucers outside.
No, no, you don't.
You got passengers in the back. But the reason, more than anything, I would like to get that address from you, sir. I myself do not have some pictures. I am carrying a camera hoping someday I will get some. But I know of two people who do have pictures. Now, these pictures have not been turned over to the DOT. They have not been turned over to our supervisory staff for the reason I related further. They may send us out. I don't know. Out here, it's called Essendale. It's a mental hospital. They send you down there for things like this.
Yeah.
But I would love to send these pictures. I have access to the negatives to get some prints made up. And they are in color.
The negatives in a very safe place, because if the thing is of very real scientific value, I'll make a trip out there to see them myself, because I would not suggest that you entrust them to the mail.
Well, now just a second, sir. There is no problem there. They're 35 millimeter slides. There are about five people that have them now in our little group, so there's not the
original
address.
Okay. But now the address, the name is J. Allen Hynek, H-Y-N-E-K.
J. Allen,
H-Y-N-E-K.
N-E-K.
And it's simply Department of Astronomy.
Department of
Astronomy.
Yes, sir, I got that.
Good. Northwestern, that's one word, Northwestern University.
Northwestern University.
And then Evanston, Illinois, that's E-V-A-N-S-T-O-N. zip code that you use here is 60201, but...
Oh, I'm sorry, the zip, you say?
Yeah, 60201.
60201. They shall be in the mail this weekend, sir.
I'm looking forward to this very, very much.
Okay, I'll put a return address, et cetera, and any information or more if you want.
By all means, rest assured that your name will not be used, because I don't want to cause anybody any embarrassment.
All right, now I'm going to jump in here for both of you, or to both of you. CP airline pilot, would you be good enough to drop me a note so that I can contact you? Because I would dearly love to see these pictures. And like Dr. Hynek, of course, no names, no back drill. Because like Dr. Hynek, I understand that they'll take the man with the butterfly net will take you away to Essendale, as you say. But would you be good enough to do so?
Gladly, Mr. Brink. Just care of the station, personal confidential.
That's right. That's right. And it'll get to me on open, personal confidential.
Certainly.
And to you, Dr. Hynek, would you like a copy of this, of the tape of this particular conversation? Because
yes,
I think it's of importance to you.
I would indeed, very much.
All right. We will get to you a copy of this tape. He will send to you, in addition, the films. And I hope also CP airline pilot, you'll get in touch with me personally, okay?
I shall do that, Mr. Burns. I'll be out of town now for about a week.
Oh, that's all right. No rush. Whenever it's convenient.
I want to compliment you, Mr. Pilot, for your courage in doing this. And you're quite safe in that I have no intention whatsoever of revealing names.
Well, that's fine, sir. I spoke to Mr. Burns' secretary. There was a matter discussed. As long as that isn't mentioned on the air, they won't know who I am, because
yeah.
If it is, they'll have an idea of what's going on. I'm
right.
Sure Mr. Burns understands what
indeed. I constantly picked up most confidential memorandums at the corner of Granville and Georgia, and if anybody believes that, they're out of their tree. But that's the only way I ever say I come into possession of them.
Certainly, sir. I thank you for putting up with me, and I thank you for your time to listen to my story, and I thank you, Mr. Burns, for making it possible.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Okay,
very much
sir.
So.
Okay, CP Airline pilot, a million thanks for calling. Goodbye, and drop me a note, okay?
I shall do that, sir.
Okay, thank you. And Dr. Hynek, I thought that was the most interesting call, and one that I'm sure just is a little bit above the norm. Because I think that when you're talking airline pilots, I think they have the edge over guys like me, a landlubber. Would you not agree?
I would say that if it isn't real what they were seeing or they said they saw, then they're...
Then we're not real.
Yeah, you don't trust your life every day to a person like that, would you?
That's right. That's right. But anyway... Doctor, I'll get a copy of that particular call, because I think that one has real substance.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you would like us to go over the words again and perhaps even play it to your colleagues, okay?
Yes, I would indeed.
And I think we'll probably have you on the air again, okay?
Be delighted.
Thank you very much, Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
Sure thing.
Goodbye.